Good morning. It is a delight to be here with you folks. If you would turn in your copy of the scriptures, please, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let me read you a story. A true story about a guy who was used of God. A guy who's unnamed. Well, he does have a name, but his name is given because of the demon possession. That wasn't his real name. And here's an individual that God used in a mighty way. And as I read this story to you, it's a true story. We understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But let me ask you to, as I read it to you, you may want to follow along, or you may want to just close your eyes and read it like you never read it before. Or let me read it like you never heard it before. And then use some sanctified imagination. This is an exciting story to picture what was going on. It's a wonderful narrative. So first of all, read it like you never read it before. This is good for all Scripture. Ask God to help you visualize it. Ask God to help you understand it. This is no ordinary book. It's a supernatural book, and we need supernatural help if we're going to understand it. And then ultimately, of course, we need to ask God to help us make application in our life. Mark chapter 5, if you'd follow along, and I'll read it, I may make a comment or two. This is right after Jesus calms the storm. That even works toward our setting here. What's going on? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, now visualize this, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Well, how did they know that? The next verse tells us, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Isn't it interesting that he knew who Jesus was? "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For it said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he, that is Jesus, asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, that is, Jesus, asked Jesus, prayed him that he might be with him. I want to go with you. Not just to cross the water, not just to get out. I want to go with you. I want to be one of your followers. I want to be one of the main guys. I want to be a disciple. I want to go with you. Verse 19. I love it. "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion upon thee." And he departed. He didn't go with Jesus. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, And here's the only commentary we have. Historically, we know that churches were started in Decapolis, but it says, all men did marvel. Our Father, help us, we pray, as we dig into your word, to learn and to grow and to be changed. We ask in Christ's name, amen. This man who's called Legion, we don't know his real name, he's a picture of what a life apart from Jesus Christ is like. Humanly speaking, he would be an incurable. But there are no incurables with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned that in every situation, Jesus Christ is adequate. Jesus Christ is sufficient. First of all, we see a miserable soul in verses 1 through 4. This man was demented. He was not in his right mind. And he is a picture of what sin does in a life. There is a form of supernatural insanity, spiritual insanity. He had an unclean spirit, verse 2 says. God's intention is that his spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is a person, would dwell within individuals, not an unclean spirit. And this happens, we've even prayed about it today. This happens when an individual accepts Christ as Savior, that the Holy Spirit of God comes in and lives inside of us. It's a matter of position. It's something that happens without our having to ask. It's a matter of possession. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. Yet we understand, I trust, that there needs to be a regular yielding to him. So it's also not only a matter of position and possession, but it's a matter of practice, as we would reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, Romans chapter 6, and refuse sin and yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. It says in verse 9, my name is Legion. That would be a contingent of some 6,000 Roman soldiers. It's not meant that we would actually count the demons in him. But we see this man was demented. We see that he was dead. Well, he doesn't look dead. Well, verse 3 says he had his dwelling among the tombs. And I realize he wasn't dead physically. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I find myself, I'm sure you do as well, Dr. Anderson, you find yourself in situations as you travel. And I heard an adult Sunday school teacher trying to explain to the class that they didn't really die, but that was, and he just kind of muddled it through, and it's kind of a, you know, you don't want to just boldly correct someone, but it worked out where I was able to say, oh, he did die. In the day you eat thereof, you will die. Well, they didn't die. They kept on. No, they did die. They died spiritually, and what an example. That before we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. After we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we are dead to sin. What a huge, huge difference. When sin comes knocking on my door, I don't need to answer. When I do answer, it's a choice. And I need to repent. Make it right with God. This man was dead in his trespasses and sins. The Bible teaches that without Christ, people are dead. And it's our opportunity, our privilege, our joy, certainly our responsibility to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man was dead to blessing. Not only was he demented and dead, but He was defeated, and we see that in verses 3 and 4. He was in charge of his life. God's not going to run my life. Reminds me of the 18-year-old who ran away from home and joined the Marines because he didn't want anyone telling him what to do. You're going to be a slave. Know ye not that to whom you yield your members' instruments, you are a servant of whom you're going to choose, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Well, I'm not going to serve anyone. Yes, you are. We'll either be a slave to God, which is a wonderful thing, or we'll be a slave to sin. I choose door 3. There is no door 3. This man was defeated. No one could bind him. He was in charge. Yet he was miserable. There's no discipline, no authority, no restraint. The main point we could say so far is that this man was completely conquered by the powers of sin. And as we view people who need Jesus Christ as Savior, by God's grace, there's never any attitude of superiority. But we have the answer. We have the truth. What a thrill to see people come to Christ. We have opportunity for unique ministries as we travel. And in fact, next Friday, I'll be taken off to a Colorado men's retreat, to Rocky Mountain Association, and there'll be some unsaved guys there, they tell me, and they challenge believers too, or sometimes in revival meetings or missions conferences, and we see people saved. By God's grace, we preach the Word of God expecting a response. God's Word is such that it deserves a response. Recently, we saw 5 individuals come to Christ at a sportsman's banquet. Not just a part of what we do, including an 80-year-old woman who was at the sportsman's banquet, and she came to Christ. And that's the answer. Terry's my secretary now. But the secretary's husband was unsaved, and I never met the guy. He'd hide. Functions we might have with Continental Baptist Mission, she'd come alone. She called me one night about 9 o'clock. She says, Mark was just fired. Worked a job since he was 15 years old. Was vice president of a construction company. He's just fired. I think he'll talk to you. And I went over there. Met him for the first time. A guy that you'd expect to be a vice president. His looks. Shook hands with that great big meat hook. And you could see where the tears had stained his face. Sat down kitty corner from him and sharing the gospel. Went through the whole plan of salvation. And he agreed he was a sinner. He agreed he couldn't save himself. He had a religious background. Agreed he knew Jesus Christ died for him. Mark, will you repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Savior? And he sat, and you can actually see, even as he sat and I talked, is sitting in a chair and his elbows on his knees and his fingers here, you can see the fingerprints on his cheek, and he'd been crying. Will you accept Christ as your Savior? He said, well, I'm just trying to work things out myself for now. And I said, and how's that working out for you? Now he says, I said, and how's that working out for you? And he just continued to cry, and then he smiled, and without me asking him again, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jesus Christ is in the business of saving souls. We need to be aware of that. And we see a mighty Savior in verses 5 through 13. I've read the verses. But we see the perception in verse 8. Well, we'll just quickly read that. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. You see, it's amazing what Jesus can do with a willing person. If you give yourself to Jesus, I want to say just as you are, but I don't mean that in a user-friendly, But learn to be yourself under transformation. I remember going into candidate school. Did you know Dr. Cunningham? He was a former president of Continental Baptist Missions. He put his arm around my shoulder and he says, Bill, he says, you won't be able to raise your support wearing Western boots. So I went to the store and I couldn't afford funny looking shoes like most of you wear. And I put a pair on layaway and went back to make my second payment. They were like $60. And I was just so convicted of the Holy Spirit of God that I was buying a pair of shoes to wear once a week that I got my money back. And God helped us raise our support in 16 months. It's not, you're fine just the way you are. That's not true. But find out who you are in Christ and be yourself under transformation, under continual transformation. Jesus Christ knew what this man's need was. He knows. He cares. And he can do something about it. I want you to see, secondly, his power. Verse 13. Isn't it exciting that Jesus deals with us personally? This is unique, but this was this man's need. This man didn't need reformation or religion. He needed relationship. And it's true also in this great nation of ours as we endeavor to start churches. Starting a new church in Northwest Arkansas. And I'm talking about our missionaries. Oh, if I call them our missionaries, it's a term of endearment. I know they're not ours. I know they're from the local church. Starting a church in Northwest Washington. In fact, the couple that's starting a church in Northwest Washington and the couple that's starting a church in Northwest Arkansas are from the last church we started. Boy, that's exciting for us. Starting a church in northwestern Montana, up in Eureka, Montana. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. We need to recognize that his power is to change lives. He is a mighty Savior. And then I want you to see, last of all, a miraculous salvation. This guy was changed. Just very, very briefly. He was changed. God changes us. And then God controls us. Let's keep it simple. This man was changed because Jesus saved him. And then he challenges us. Here's a guy who says, I want to do something great. I want to go and be one of your disciples. I want to get in the boat. And Jesus says, no. He doesn't say, I can't use you. And I wonder sometimes, dear people, if God would give us a big job to do, we would go do it. And I wonder sometimes if with that attitude, we trip over little things, maybe a little job that we do and no one even notices. What fun is that? We get an opportunity to be a servant and help someone, minister to someone. And it's just seemingly, it's not insignificant, but seemingly insignificant. And this guy says, I want to go with you, I want to be a disciple. And Jesus says, go home to your friends. And tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you. And hath had compassion upon you. So the man went home. And we can only speculate it, but can you picture it? Can you picture it? Legion going home? Business as usual in his town. Shops are open. Men and women are visiting. Children are playing. And then they hear, Legion's coming! Legion's coming! And the street's clear. And then a little boy cries out, but not in fear. And he says, Mama! It's Daddy! And he's got his clothes on. And his hair is combed. And little boy breaks away from his frightened mama and runs out into the street. Then walks cautiously toward his daddy. Others may have followed. We're using some sanctified imagination. What happened here? Pretty soon little boy's in his daddy's arms. He says, Daddy, you're different. The villagers follow and ask, what happened? You aren't the same. And he probably said something like, a few days ago, I met a man. His name is Jesus. And he saved me. And he changed me. And I'm here to tell others. I'm here to tell you what Christ has done. Dear people, am I a willing servant? Father in heaven, thank you for this man. thank you for the opportunity to just get a little tiny peek at his life. Thank you that you used him. Thank you that he was obedient. Help us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.